The National Concert Hall in Dublin has just launched a series of classical concerts under the banner Spring Summer Variations. Some of Ireland's leading classical musicians have collaborated with the concert hall to put together a series of programmes. Among the featured artists will be celebrated pianists Fiacre Garvey and Barry Douglas. Equally celebrated sopranos Celine Byrne and Aisling Kenny are part of the bill as well. And over the 6 concerts in the series, you can enjoy music from composers such as Philip Glass, Dmitri Shostakovich, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Johannes Brahms and Antonin Dvorak. But right now, I'm joined by violinist and director of the Irish Chamber Orchestra, Catherine Honka, along with accordion player Dermot Dunn, who will be leading the June 24th concert, which features the music of the Argentinian tango master, Astor Piazzolla. I'll speak to Catherine and Dermot in a moment, but you heard the weather forecast. It's not looking good. Let's warm ourselves up with a little Argentinian tango. This is a sample of what you might hear in the concert on June the 24th. Yes, and well they might cheer, a recording they're made in Limerick in September 2020. Dermot Dunn, accordion player, and the Irish Chamber Orchestra. Dermot joining me on the line, as is Catherine Honka, violinist and director of the Irish Chamber Orchestra. That's the way to warm yourself up on a Friday evening when we get a weather forecast that tells us there are hail, there's snow, there's wind, there's frozen temperatures. It's amazing music, Dermot. Written, I presume, originally, maybe not for accordion, but for a type of accordion, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the instrument that Piazzolla himself played is called a bandoneon. And this is kind of a concertina instrument. It looks, you know, quite similar to an accordion. It sounds quite similar. It was the instrument that German immigrants to Argentina brought at the end of the 19th century. And it kind of became the sound of tango. It became, you know, intrinsically linked with tango music. So that's the instrument he played. But I don't have a bandoneon. And so it's, I suppose, yeah, close enough.
Well, I tell you, the instrument that you had there sounded just fine to me. I don't need a bandoneon. That worked for me for sure. And in the midst of that, Catherine, am I right in thinking, was it Vivaldi that kept, you know, I was talking about that weather forecast, and they talked about, Marion the Hula One was talking about all sorts of weather that would be Fitcha Fucha mixed in with. So we had a bit of Vivaldi's Four Seasons mixed into that arrangement, yeah?
It was, and actually Dermot did that arrangement.
Ah.
And I don't want his head to get big, but it's very good, isn't it?
Well, I was about to say, who arranged it? But yeah, I think that was Dermot's arrangement. Go ahead,
Dermot.
The
reason for the Vivaldi was they were going to play that. They did actually play it without me. They were playing it on a different tour with Vivaldi. And so I just put those little Vivaldi little things in there.
Yeah.
So.
In fact, Catherine, I think you were in, I was off the last time you were in speaking, my memory serves me right, about the Vivaldi concert that you did. And I was madly jealous. So I'm delighted to have you on.
Oh, great. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah. I'm delighted to have you on this evening. Piazzolla, how would you describe, I'll come to you on this, Dermot, since it kind of instrument is near enough his instrument in many ways. How would you describe what he did for tango music in Argentina?
Oh, goodness.
Well,
go ahead, let Dermot go first.
You do this one, Dermot. So, I want to hear what you say.
Okay, well, he grew up playing tango in the golden era, you know, in the 1930s and playing in tango bands. But then he went and lived in New York, and he absorbed a lot of the influence of particularly of jazz from New York. And then he went and studied classical music with Nadia Boulanger in Paris for a while. And so he brought all of these influences back with him when he arrived back in Argentina, I think in the 1950s. So there, you'll hear, you know, polyphonic lines and quite intricate arrangements in his pieces. And they don't always necessarily, you know, suit dancers very well. You know, the music sometimes has unusual kind of structures to them and so on. In fact, dancers and a lot of the traditional tango fans in Argentina didn't like Piazzolla then. I mean, he even had death threats. You know, there's a story of him being in a recording studio one evening, and a tango singer burst in with a gun and put it, you know, to his head to tell him to stop destroying tango, because they thought that he was ruining tango, but he was really breathing a new life into the music.
For sure. You know, it would have to be a tango, and it would have to be that dramatic. I presume the person wielding the gun also had a rose stuck in their mouth just to fit in.
I don't know.
Probably
of
not.
They did.
Yeah. But Catherine, what really struck me in that arrangement, and we've already credited Dermot with it, but just at the end, was how well it sat in the orchestra. That sliding up note where the kind of was almost as if the orchestra was taking off as you slid up the strings. It really sat very well. It sits very well on the orchestra, that type of music, that type of arrangement.
Yeah, well, that was actually me doing that.
Ah, that was your bit.
It's like you can really take off there, and it feels great. It feels great to do anything that you're not supposed to do, right? So Piazzolla's music is full of stuff you're not supposed to do.
So
X-rated.
Dermot talking there about the tango aficionados and purists hating what Piazzolla was doing. I suppose there would be certain classical aficionados might not like what he was doing either, Catherine.
God, I don't know. I wouldn't spend much time with them, I don't think. But I suppose we spend our life playing, you know, you have a bridge on the fiddle, and you play on the other side of the bridge to make a nice sound. And in this music, you get to play right next to your nose, which makes, you might have heard it at the end, it's like, I mean, I don't even know how to, what to liken it with, but it doesn't sound like playing the violin, not as I was taught. It's really fun doing these kind of things. It's like being a percussionist. You can be every instrument in this music.
Ironically, that I thought it was a percussion instrument of some kind, and I wonder
that was me as well.
That was you as well. Now, that was you making the sound with Dermot's arrangement, or were these little suggestions that perhaps you put to the arranger?
Well, I think I'm not sure I suggested them. I think these kind of things sort of evolve, don't they, Dermot?
Yeah, we're just remember sort of exactly. Suggesting yeah, there's to certain, each other. There's certain sounds like that scratching behind the bridge that makes her like a güiro, you know, that kind of ribbed instrument, you know, that is quite characteristic of tango. So if you've listened to a few albums, you kind of pick up, you know, a violinist would listen and hear what they've done and try to imitate that effect.
Now, obviously, you're going to be playing, I presume, Liber Tango in that wonderful arrangement. By the way, I was also surprised because I looked... I thought, well, as I was listening to it, and I did hear it, I was listening earlier on this afternoon, I heard the applause at the end, so I knew it was a live recording. And then I looked at September 2020. So it must have, was it a small audience that was there, Catherine?
Yes, but didn't they make a wonderful
record? They certainly did.
It was smallish. It was I think level 3, and it was at the time when we could have people very spaced out with masks.
All right.
So it was the only time, August, September, we played to audiences and then we stopped again. So it's even now to hear that applause at the end, I mean, it's just, I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, and also, Dermot, it struck me that you really could pick up off the performer. Now, you guys are professional musicians. You could do that in a recording studio with, you know, one person and sweeping a floor in front of you if you had to. But the live thing, the presence of an audience does add a huge amount.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're all getting used to, you know, online recordings and whether they're going out live or pre-recorded nowadays. And I think we're all getting a little bit better at it as we get more used to it. But you can't beat the...
Yeah.
I know it's a bit of a cliche, but, you know, the audience, the energy and the reaction and the... You feel something when there's an audience in the room there, even if it's not a very big audience. I can't remember. It was maybe 100 people in that room,
like that.
Which can seat 1,200. It's huge, so they were well spaced out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, even if there's two people there, one person listening to you live, it's still... Actually, we did a concert, Catherine, myself, and Malachy Robinson on bass in University College Cork about a month ago. And there was the camera guy... and one other person who was involved in the series. And we just said to them that even having those two people there made it feel a little bit like a real concert, that at least there's some human
it
being
really
there
helped,
to
yeah.
react.
Yeah.
Well, and let's not underplay, though, the fact that, you know, yes, these concerts that you're going to be doing will be online from the National Concert Hall. And I'd much rather have that than have no music, no live music coming at me. Thank you very much. So let's
and
be clear
as,
on that.
I think that's right, Sean. And I think as well, we're actually learning to make an atmosphere amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
Which so we do the whoops and the applause.
And when you're doing a live concert, you act when it's not just a recording, which you can do again and again, when it's this is happening once, warts and all, you actually get the same nerves like a live concert because you know that it's as good as live. It is live.
Yeah.
And also you know that if you play a live concert, you do it and it's gone, but these are going to hang around forever somewhere in an archive.
Totally. So. People can watch the warts again and again and again.
Yeah,
and people can point them out to you again and again
and again.
Yes, they
might do that.
If they were that type of person. Not that
in the
any
comment
of us.
Section. Yeah.
Look, I just want to, before I go to a second piece that you have for us this evening, Catherine, I want to talk about, in fact, the first and the Piazzolla concert with yourself, with the Chamber Orchestra and Dermot is the final in the series. But the first in the series takes place on Thursday of next week.
Next week, it's terribly soon.
Yeah, tell us what you'll be performing there.
So we're going to play Shostakovich Piano Concerto number 1, which has a trumpet in it and a piano. And Fiacre Garvey, who is fab, is going to join us as well. And Dave Collins on trumpet. And it's like a kind of a circus jazzy piece. It really should help people if they have any COVID blues.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very important right now that we entertain people in a way that helps them to feel more joyful. So this is a very joyful piece sure. of music, and then we're going to play a piece by Philip Glass, which gives me goosebumps. I think it's just so beautiful. Everyone in the orchestra has their own part, and the things just move very slightly here and there. It's quite lively in places. I love that music. And then Paul Frost, who is a fabulous musician and jazzer, has written us a piece of music specially for this week. And that has touches of Gershwin, and it's lovely, squelchy chords are everywhere. Yeah. So lots of tunes, lots of dance, lots of energy. There'll be a lot of energy. So we have a few days to rehearse now.
Yeah, and that's next Thursday. But let's throw forward again to the 24th, Thursday the 24th, when you'll be playing all the Piazzolla music. And the Lieber Tango, certainly one to get you whooping and cheering. The one that we're about to listen to, Dermot, Oblivion. Different sound here. We're in a kind of a smoky kind of feel, aren't we? What are the origins of this piece?
Yeah, this was actually composed for an Italian film, I think. It's a really beautiful, sultry, very still kind of smoky. Tango seems to go between one extreme and the other. It's very vivacious and, you know, really driven rhythms, or this very, very kind of I don't know how to if I could describe it in words, we would need the music.
Well, let's let the music do the work then. Listen, great to speak with you both, and continued success
in
all you do. Thanks, Catherine. Thanks, Dermot.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Mood setter, that is Oblivion from Piazzolla, and that will be one of the pieces that the Irish Chamber Orchestra, violinist Catherine Hunka speaking to us, and accordion player Dermot Dunn, who was also speaking to us, that'll be part of their evening of tango music on Thursday, June the 24th at the National Concert Hall. But there are 6 concerts in total, lots to happen before June. So go on to the Spring Summer Variations, go on to the Concert Hall website, and you'll find out full details of how you can watch all of that from the comfort of home. nch.ie for full details.